Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast. This week, Pastor Trey Kelly leads us in the series, F Series.
Justin, the guy that plays right here, he's playing bass today. He tells me that during that song, I've done it both hours, during that song, that all the men are like this. And all the women are like. I guess y'all know that song. We did that song for a reason. All right, it wasn't just to show off how awesome Stacy is, even though she is awesome. We did that song because we're talking about forgiveness, right? We're talking about the opposite of what that song taught us to do. But I kind of wanted to get your juices flowing before we started, because that song, man, that's what we think it's all about, right? We are programmed to think, if you hurt me, I'm going to come back at you harder. If you mess with me, I'm going to take you down. Run around on me, I'm going to beat your car in with a baseball bat. And we watch that, we feel that, we see movies about that, and it just feels so right to us. It just feels so good. Yes, hold on to that pain, hold on to that anger, because one day you're going to get revenge, and it's going to be so awesome. Now, here's the problem with that. The reality is Carrie Underwood would go to jail for what she did. The reality is revenge, very rarely, if ever, I'm going to go with never, is as satisfying as we want it to be. We have in our brains the perfect thing we're going to say to just get them back, and then we mess it up. And like, oh, I need another take. I need another go. We think, you know, we're going to just get in a fight and beat the snot out of somebody. It's going to make us feel better, but it doesn't. Maybe it does for a second, but then it goes away because your hand hurts. I don't know. I've never been in a fight. I'm a wimp. But it shock of all shocks, we've been lied to, and revenge doesn't work. Which is why we're doing this series, F Series, talking about forgiveness. We began last week, and what we learned last week was that we cannot begin to consider forgiving other people. We cannot begin to want to forgive others and make it even a part of our lives until we first have experienced forgiveness for ourselves. Until we have understood the fact that Jesus Christ came to earth, paid the price for our mistakes, paid the price for our sins, so that God could forgive us. And it's only through that relationship we have with God, because Jesus paid the price for our sins, that we are even capable of this idea of forgiveness and forgiving. So, without Jesus, you can't forgive. But the other side of that is, with Jesus, you must forgive. Because, and here's the truth we're going to talk about for the next 3 weeks. Forgiven people forgive people. Forgiven people forgive people. If you've been forgiven, you must forgive. And we see this throughout God's word. If you were brought up in the church, you've heard this. If you've been to church once, you've probably heard about forgiveness. Jesus prayed about, help us forgive others if you forgive us. Forgive, forgiven. We've heard that all the time. But if you're like me, I grew up in church. I've heard about forgiveness my entire life. I basically created a little bar where it's like, yeah, okay, I've been forgiven, and I'll forgive you as long as you hurt me this much. Right? But we all create little caps in our life where we basically ignore God or rationalize away that, okay, I'll forgive this offense, but if you go above this and you hurt me this way, well, then God doesn't really mind if I hold on to this grudge. He doesn't really mind if I hate this person. I mean, look what they did. There's no way God wants me to forget what they did. There's no way he wants me to try to just rationalize it away, not like it was okay. There's no way he wants me to do that. I can't be friends with these people again. I can't let them back into my life again. They could hurt me. So I can't forgive. And so we just kind of sweep it under the rug and just kind of go about our lives with some of these mutually agreed upon hatreds in our life. We're going to forgive other areas, but this one thing, you know, it's going to be fine that we don't forgive because we can't reconcile, because we can't have partnership. Now, if you were here last week, I taught you that a lot of things we've been taught about forgiveness and we think about forgiveness aren't true. Like, number one, forgiveness does not mean letting people back into your life. Forgiveness does not mean partnership. Forgiveness does not even mean letting it go. Forgiveness does not mean acting like it never happened. Forgiveness does not always mean forgetting what happened. Here's what it means. Forgiveness is letting go of the bitterness, of the anger, of the hatred that you have in your heart towards the people that have hurt you. And the reason you need to let it go is because it'll eat you alive. Because the only person that bitterness is hurting is you. Now, we've had week one. We're just starting week two. Some of you were here last week. Some of you weren't. There's no part of me that thinks this is going to be an easy message, that you're all just going to be like, yeah, on board and ready to forgive, right? It's hard to do. I know it's hard to do. Many of you are still jazzed up about the song, and you've already made your plans to get your bat and go beat somebody's car when we're done, right? Now, others of you, maybe you grew up in church, maybe you know a little bit about church, and you've heard this message before. You're like, I've heard the forgiveness messages before, Trey. I'm not interested. You know what? I grew up in church. A lot of the forgiveness messages I heard growing up, I'm not interested in either. Because for good or bad, I don't say this to be mean, but a lot of the forgiveness messages I heard growing up made me feel weak. They were just basically, Jesus loves you, brother, so you got to forgive. And that was it. And I'm like, what? Some of you are like, what? And see, we think forgiveness is weak, and it's because some of what we were taught was weak. Today's not weak. Next week is not a weak message. Because forgiveness isn't weakness. Forgiveness is the ultimate power. And we're going to understand that. We're going to figure that out. So what we're going to do, because this is a heavy topic. It's one we're going to have a lot of back and forth on. We're going to spend the next 2 weeks talking about why forgiven people forgive people. Not why, I'm sorry. This week, we're going to focus on the why. Why do forgiven people forgive people? Why is forgiveness important? Why should we make it a part of our lives? Why should we want to be able to forgive other people? That's all this week. Next week is the how. How you do it. So just rest easy today. I am not going to ask you to forgive anybody today. Okay? So your grudges are safe. I'm just going to explain to you as best I can from God's word why they're killing you. And how much better your life would be if you could let them go. If you were here last week, you remember that I preached the entire sermon in handcuffs. Still have the marks. But I did it as a visual, as an illustration of what our lives are like when we don't embrace forgiveness. Because unforgiveness is a trap. The anger, the bitterness, it controls us. It makes us completely ineffective. And we have to learn to let that go. See, I want to dispel a myth right now about forgiveness. Right at the top, before we get started. Because I think some people think that the reason we talk about forgiveness and the reason God talks about forgiveness is because he just wants everybody to get along. He just wants it to be holding hands and kumbaya around the campfire. Everybody loves each other. To be so nice. No. No. That's not why forgiveness is in the Bible so much. Forgiveness is not about everybody else. Forgiveness, at its core, is about you. The reason Jesus made it possible for us to forgive, and the reason they want us to forgive so badly, the reason they want forgiveness to be a part of our lives, the reason God cares so much about forgiveness, is because the only person that anger, that grudge, that hatred, The only person it hurts, the only person it traps, the only person that it affects in any way is you. And my prayers over this week and next week, you can realize that, and God will begin to set you free. Set you free from the things that happened long ago. Set you free from the things that have had power over your life for far, far too long. We're going to return to the book we were in last week, the book of Romans. If you have your Bible, you can turn to Romans. As I explained last week, Romans is a letter. It's in the New Testament. It was written by a guy named Paul. Paul was a missionary. He started churches. And what Paul also did is he wrote letters to churches, giving them instructions, giving them direction on what they should do. They didn't know how to do church before then, so Paul kind of helped them out. And what we've done is we've saved those letters, and they've become the Bible. They've become the New Testament for us. So over half the New Testament are letters written by Paul and a couple of the other guys. And in Romans, what Paul's doing in this letter, it's a pretty long letter. Paul is writing to the church at Rome. He spends over half the book just kind of explaining God, who God is, what he did through Jesus, and why it matters. And then in about Romans 12, Paul basically says, well, because of everything I've just told you, all this amazing stuff God has done, this is how you should live your life going forward. He talks about how to be a Christ follower and how to do the things. And in Romans 12, verse 17, he directly addresses what we're dealing with right now. He directly addresses, here's how you deal with people that hurt you. Here's how you deal with people that sin against you, that do bad things to you, that try to bring you down, that come at you. Here's how to deal with them. Starts in verse 17, he says this. He says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Now see right there. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. I have lost half the room. Right? You're like, dude, that is church mumbo jumbo. I ain't doing it. Some people need evil done to them. That's what we think. That's what we feel. That's what the song we just played said. That dude needed some evil done to him, right? See, no one tells you to react this way except God. That's it. Now, God's really the only opinion that matters. No one else says it. It's so counter-cultural. It's so against our DNA and how we're wired. No one says this, but here God says it. Never repay evil for evil. Some of you in the room are offended by that. You find it offensive, and you should. Forgiveness is offensive. It offends our senses. It offends our innate sense of justice that we have as human beings. It goes against everything we've been hardwired to believe from watching television, listening to music, experiencing it. It's everything against it. We've been taught someone messes with you, you take them down. To forgive is weak. To forgive is to roll over. To forgive is act like it never happened. To forgive is to say, okay, I'm sorry. Okay, okay, it's all right. It's okay, it's okay, it's okay. Just don't do it again, please. Okay. See, that's what we think of as forgiveness, and it bothers us. Others in the room, you're bothered when I talk about forgiveness, when I talk about not repaying evil for evil. Because you want to look at me and you want to say, you have no idea what you're asking me to do. And you're probably right. But I probably have some idea. And I say this with complete and total mercy and compassion and humility. I know in a room this size, a church this size, there are going to be women hearing this message who have undoubtedly been abused. Emotionally, physically, sexually. I'm certain there are people in the room right now who have had that happen to them. And I'm saying, don't repay evil for evil. And you just don't understand how that's possible. I'm sure in a room this size, there are some men in here who have deep-seated anger and hatred in their hearts because their father was a coward and he abandoned them. You never knew him. I'm sure there are also some men in the room who prayed that their fathers would abandon them because they abused them. Abuse their siblings, abuse their mom. I know that in a room this size, there are things that have happened that I could never imagine, comprehend, or explain. And there is no part of me that's going to try. But I also know that when we talk about forgiveness, it kind of makes you sick in your stomach a little bit, because to you, the idea of forgiving them is letting them off the hook for what they did to you. Forgiving them would be like you saying it never happened. And for you to say it never happened would be to deny something that's made you who you are. And so you don't really know how to listen to this message and how to handle it. And so here's the promise I'm going to make to you. Over this week and next week, never one time will I trivialize what happened to you. Never one time will I ask you to rationalize it away and act like it wasn't a big deal. Never one time will I say, oh, just forgive, brother. Never. If anything, my hope this week and next week is to try to, as closely as I can, get inside your heads and show you from God's word why, yes, even you, even with the awful things that have happened to you, you too can find the freedom that comes from forgiving the person who hurt you. And that forgiving them in your heart is in no way equal to letting them off the hook for what they've done. Now, you can't see that yet, but over the next week and 2 weeks, you will. So I just beg you to trust me. I beg you to walk with me. And I promise you, I will in no way belittle what's happened to you. But you've been hurting long enough. See, Jesus doesn't want you to hurt anymore. And so that's what we're going to try to do. That's what we're going to try to do together. So let's return to the text. What Paul said, do not repay anyone evil for evil. That's pretty clear. Anyone is a Greek word that means anyone. Yeah, you're like, what? Yeah. It's a unique Greek word there. It means anyone. And we struggle with that, right? Because we think, no, some people deserve evil, right? If you would abuse a child, you deserve evil to happen to you, right? If you would dare, attack or lynch someone for the color of their skin, you deserve evil things to happen to you, right? If you would sit with other people and mastermind an attack on a country that's going to harm thousands of innocent people, like, you deserve evil to happen to you, right? Like, we want to go back to Paul and say, Paul, we get it for the normal people, but there clearly has to be the Hitler exception where we as humans can bring some evil on the dude, right? We got to repay evil for evil. And Paul says, no. Paul says, do not repay evil for evil. And that's a really hard concept. It's hardest for the people I was just talking to. Because you still have the scars, you have the wounds, and you can't fathom how they don't deserve evil. But here's what Paul would say back to you. Verse 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Verse 19. Do not take revenge, my dear friends. See, there it is. Don't take revenge. Do not do it. It doesn't say, do not take revenge unless. It says, do not take revenge. And again, we're just like, yeah, but revenge is so fun. It'll feel so good. Until you actually do it, like I said earlier, and then you're like, oh, that wasn't as good as I thought it would be. Didn't quite come out the way I wanted it to. I thought that I had been building this up in my head and I would do this and I'd be satisfied and it'd be gone. But guess what? Now I just feel worse because the revenge didn't work and now I don't know what to do. But I know I'm still angry. Now see, the second group of people that have a hard time really with the whole forgiveness talk are people in the room who, and this isn't bad, but who've lived a pretty sheltered life. You had good parents. You know, nothing bad's really ever happened to you. You know? Even when you were in high school, you were so popular that you always did the breaking up. No one ever broke up with you one time. That was not me, by the way. I got dumped. I did. But you can't wrap your brain around forgiveness because I don't really feel like you have anybody to forgive. And see, my prayer for you during this series is that God will begin to bring to your mind, bring to your heart some bitterness that you do have that maybe you've forgotten about. Now, this doesn't mean go home and just make a list of everybody you think you should hate and start coming up with reasons. That's not what I'm saying. But see, I know that everyone in the room has been hurt. Everyone in the room has people to forgive. And I know that because I talk about this guy a lot, but we have to talk about him a lot because he's our enemy and he hates us and he wants to destroy us. Satan, who is our enemy, who hates you and wants to destroy you, loves to use the tool of unforgiveness. He loves to stir up grudges in your heart. He loves to remind you of that offense that happened 5 years ago that you had forgotten about, then you remembered, and now you're really mad about it. See, he loves to do that because the more angry and bitter he can make you, the less he has to worry about you. Because remember, unforgiveness and ineffectiveness, they're tied together. And Satan hates you, wants to destroy you, wants to take you out of the game. So he's going to use one of the two methods we just talked about. One, he's going to try to convince you that you're special, you're unique, what happened to you is too big a deal, you don't have to forgive it, and how dare God ask you to. That's what Satan's going to do. Or he's going to convince you, you're better than that. You don't really need to worry about forgiveness. Nah, you're good. You're golden. It's not really a big deal. He's going to come at you one of those two ways during this series. And the reason I know we all have something to forgive is because we live on earth. And as long as we live here with other people, evil will always happen to us. Always. Evil things will happen to us. Notice, Paul says, do not repay evil with evil. Notice that Paul calls what happened to you evil. He doesn't sugarcoat it. He doesn't try to rationalize it. What happened to you in your life was evil. Beating a child is evil. Just like gossiping is evil. You don't like that one as much, do you? Lying is evil. Those in the room I was talking to earlier who just awful things have happened to you, please hear me. What happened to you was evil. It was 100% evil. It wasn't your fault. It was evil. One of the reasons you struggle to forgive is because you've been doing it on your own. And one of the stupid things we try to do as humans when we forgive is rather than declaring that's evil and I'm going to forgive it, we try to declare, maybe it wasn't that evil. I mean, maybe it really wasn't that bad. Maybe I'm overreacting. I mean, yeah, he beat me, but he had a long day at work, and the kids were so loud when he came home, and I did burn dinner. You know, maybe it's not, okay, maybe it's just not that big a deal. You want to know why people think forgiveness is weakness? Because that's what we do. I do it all the time. People hurt me, and I just try to figure out, instead of dealing with the forgiveness, I try to convince myself it wasn't as bad as I thought it was. And you need to hear me say right now, I will never do that in this series. God will never do that. You do not forgive by deciding that the evil wasn't evil, but trying to rationalize it away. That's not how it works. That's weak. You forgive first by declaring that it was evil. And then you tap into the power source. So here's the truth today. Forgiveness is not weakness. Forgiveness is the ultimate portal to power in Christ. Forgiveness is not weakness. It is the ultimate portal to power in Christ. Because just like I said last week, you can't forgive without Christ. That's another newsflash for some people in the room. You do not have the capacity as a human being to forgive on your own. Can't happen. Can't happen. Quit trying. First, you must have a growing relationship with Jesus Christ where you receive forgiveness. And then and only then can he move through you and perform a miracle in your heart, which is what forgiveness is, a miracle in your heart to be able to begin to forgive people around you. Tapping in to the source of Jesus and then he moves through you, that ain't weakness, folks, that's power. That's power over the evil that has been done to you. And that's good stuff. Some of you are rolling with me. Others, you're still a little scared. You're still a little confused. Still a little back. Because you still can't wrap your brain around this idea. If I forgive them, that means I have to let them back into my life. If I forgive them, it means I have to be around them. And that's not true. And Paul said it wasn't true and you missed it. So I'm going to read it again for you just to make sure you know. Because in verse 18, Paul said this. Paul said, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Folks, I've been reading the Bible for over 25 years. I went to grad school to study the Bible. That is the weakest commandment I've ever seen in my life. Most of them say, do not steal. They don't say, I mean, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, don't steal. No, it says don't steal. But when we're talking about forgiveness, when we're talking about evil that has been done to you, look how soft Paul is. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And notice he does not say live in partnership. He says live in peace. For some people, separation is the best thing that can happen for forgiveness to occur. Ladies, look at me right now. Don't you look at your husband when I say this because it'll be bad. Don't you look at your boyfriends, but I mean this, and I mean this sincerely from the bottom of my heart. If he's beating you, if he's abusing you, your first phone call, second we dismissed today, is 911. You can forgive his butt when he's in prison. But don't you dare believe that forgiveness means rolling over and allowing that to continue. Or give us a call. I got some barely saved folks. We'll take care of that. But hear me. I know that was funny, but please, please do hear me. We are not called to live in partnership. We are called to live at peace with them. And that's for you. if it's possible, as far as it's dependent upon you. That doesn't mean they have to be at peace with you. You have to be at peace with them. And at peace simply means when you think about them, you don't want to kill them. Peace means when they come to your mind, you have a peace in your heart. You no longer feel the wrath. You no longer feel the anger. You no longer feel the revenge. You have peace. You have peace in your heart because they no longer have power over you. Because the peace in your heart comes from the ultimate power source because you've tapped into it through Jesus Christ. That's why there is power in forgiveness, not weakness. There's also power in knowing that when you team up with Jesus, he's going to handle what happened to you. Okay? You ain't letting him off the hook. He's going to handle it. Verse 19. Do not take revenge, my dear friends. See, we read that part. But here's the why. But leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. For those of you in the room who don't want to forgive because you think it'd be letting them off the hook, let those words sink in. You ain't letting them off the hook. You're just letting your daddy handle it. Read the Old Testament sometimes if you want to see what kind of junk that dude can do. Boom! He's got your back. In no way am I asking you to forfeit justice against those who have harmed you. I'm just asking you to guarantee justice by handing it over to the one who can do something about it. In legal terms, forgiveness is not dismissing your case. Forgiveness is appealing your case to a higher court. I just don't want you to think forgiving is the same as letting go. It ain't letting go. It's letting God handle it. And that's why it's the ultimate portal of power. That's why it's the ultimate connection to Christ. Because it's saying, evil was done to me, but Father, you've made it possible for me to be forgiven, for them to be forgiven. You don't want me to live with the junk I'm living with because it's destroying my life. So I'm done. I hand it to you. Please take care of it. I got things to do. That's how we are called to live. Next week, I will spend a lot more time talking about how we do that. I want to close today with just two more verses. This is what Paul says. Paul says, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Now, do not miss this last verse, because this last verse is key. This is everything. Right here, he says this. He says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. See, when we allow unforgiveness to reign in our hearts, when we allow the anger and the bitterness and the hatred to stay, we are the ones who are overcome by evil. We are the ones who suffer. You think the reason you're hanging on to that grudge is because it's going to protect you. As long as you hang on to it, they can't hurt you anymore, right? Well, guess what? You're allowing them to hurt you every single day by not letting it go. When you wake up in the morning and think about it, you're the one who's hurting, not them. When you go to work and you see that spot where something happened, you're the one who's in pain, not them. You are the one who is being overcome by evil and allowing it to hurt you again and again and again. Unforgiveness is like drinking rat poison and waiting for the other person to die. It's pointless. And it will never, ever, ever work. It will never get you anywhere because you spend every waking moment stewing and getting madder and planning the perfect revenge. And as you're doing that, what you're doing is really putting up walls because you're so hurt, you're not going to allow anybody else to hurt you. So nobody else gets in. Unforgiveness creates a dam in our spirit. No emotion can come in and nothing can certainly flow out. It's all dammed up. We're ineffective. So we spend our lives hating these people and planning and plotting and just ruining the relationships we have right now. And you know what they're doing as we're plotting and stewing and all that kind of stuff? Not thinking about you. They're on the beach reading Twilight. They don't care that you're mad. They don't know that you're mad. They've moved on. But we live an incapacitated, unfruitful, miserable life, waiting for the day we get them back. That is weakness. I want you to find strength. I want you to find hope. I want you to understand today that the God of the universe sent his son not only to pay the price for every mistake you'll ever make so he can look at you perfect and say, you are forgiven. And we can have a relationship, but also to say, and you know what, son? You know what, daughter? There's still evil in the world, and evil is going to happen to you, but I don't want you to be overcome by it. I don't want you to live a life still shackled by what happened to you. I want you to be able to forgive it, because I want you to know that I'm in charge, I got your back, and I'm going to take care of all that so that you can be free to live the life I created you to live. That's power. Why forgive? Because it connects you to the ultimate power in Christ. Because it frees you to live the life you have been called to live. It frees you to live the life you were designed to live. Now, like I said, I'm not going to ask you to forgive anybody this week. If you want to, go ahead. All I'm going to ask you to do this week is to begin thinking about how would my life be different if I forgave this person. And don't think about the person. Don't even think about that. Don't even think about what they did. Think about how different your life would be minus the anger, the bitterness, the lack of trust. How would it change your marriage if you stopped protecting yourself from your spouse because someone else hurt you? How would it change how you parent your children if you forgave your parents for what they did to you and stopped trying to not be them and just said, all right, God, who do you want me to be? As the parent. Look, I don't know what's happened in your life. I don't know. What I know is God's word. And if you have anger and bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart, it is eating you alive. It is incapacitating you. And you will never live the life you were created to live until you embrace the cross of Jesus, realize your sins are paid for, and he can move through you and radically transform your heart so that you can find peace with what happened. And you can rest in the fact that your daddy's going to take care of what happened to you. Next week, we'll talk about how to do this. But I beg you today, beg you, consider this. Reflect on it this week. Don't even reflect on what they did. Reflect on how different your life would be if you could be free of the chains that have bound your heart for far too long. Heavenly Father, I pray right now for every person in this room. Lord, I pray as I speak that your Holy Spirit is breaking chains. God, I pray you're bringing healing. I pray you are bringing understanding. Father, I pray right now that people are beginning to grasp the concept of forgiveness and that forgiveness is for us. It sets us free. And it hands the people that hurt us over to you. Bring us peace. Bring us wholeness. Let us learn what it would feel like to walk in the knowledge that you have our back and that we can be at peace with all people. It's in your name we pray.
Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, go to wellspringchurch.tv.